We are still in 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, and we're picking up at verse 16. And I'm not sure how far we'll get today. There's quite a lot of meat in the last 2.5 chapters of this book. So, and I'm going to have to bail at 10:30. So we'll get as far as we get until 10:30 and probably finish up 2 Corinthians next week. If you're looking ahead, where we're going after 2 Corinthians is Philippians. So, Philippians.
Okay.
So, but I'm thinking we won't finish this week, that we'll have some 2 Corinthians to finish next week.
I thought we left off at 13.
Where I marked was 11 verse 6. You know what? You're right. I forgot to mark where we stopped last week. Yeah? Okay, so we will finish 2 Corinthians this week, because we're at chapter 13. I was looking at where my pen mark was, and I just forgot to put a pen mark where we actually stopped last week. So, flip over to chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, and delete everything I just said. We'll finish 2 Corinthians this week, and next week we'll start Philippians. So, oh my goodness, not enough caffeine in my life. All right, so in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, the first four verses are kind of Paul, I don't want to say threatening because that's a little harsh, but just reminding the Corinthians of what happens if they don't pay attention to what Jesus told them, but also what Paul told them. So this is also kind of vintage Paul. It has his tone. This is the third time I am coming to you. Any charge must be sustained by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warn those who sinned previously and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not be lenient. Since you desire proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful in you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives in the power of God. For we are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. So, the quote that's in there in verse 2, that's any charge must be sustained by the evidence of two or three witnesses, that comes from Deuteronomy, from the laws of the people of Israel. That if you're bringing a charge, you have to bring witnesses with you. And so what he's saying is, you're putting all these accusations against me, be careful. 'Cause if I come back, you may not be happy with the outcome of that. Like I said, it's not exactly a threat, but it has threatening overtones of watch yourself about what you say about me.
It sounds like a parent. This is the third time I've come
yes,
up here.
Yes, exactly.
It's not going to be so good the next time.
It does have a bit of that, don't make me stop this car.
Yes, exactly. Now, is he referring to their treatment of him as far as like not believing he's the true voice, or more what their behavior is?
More what their behavior is.
Behavior.
And really more their accusations against him. People are making subtle accusations that perhaps he hadn't been honest with them. And so this is he hasn't quite come out and said, you're bearing false witness against me, but there's a sense of that. So any other questions about those four verses? All right, so then starting at from verse 5 to verse 10 is kind of a conclusion of the purpose of the letter. There's an actual conclusion that is the last two verses, but this kind of ties up all of the themes of the letters, these next six verses, starting at verse 5. That is, so I'll deal with that in a minute. So starting at verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you fail to meet the test. I hope that you will find out that we have not failed. But we pray to God that you may not do anything wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, that we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. This is what we pray for, that you may become perfect. So I write these things while I am away from you, so that when I come, I may not have to be severe in using the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. This is really typical, Paul. I think that there's a verb-subject pair in there somewhere, but I'm not sure I could identify it immediately. He's a little convoluted in his sentence structure.
What is the test that he talks about in that first...
Where he says, test yourselves, it carries the connotation of examine yourself, look, you know, reflect on your behavior.
What's his threat? You know, when I come, I will do something to you. What would he be doing? I mean, you know, like he's saying, don't make me come and...
Holding them accountable to the faith that they proclaim. If you say that you are a follower of Jesus and you are not behaving as a follower of Jesus, then I as an apostle will hold you accountable for your behavior. Now, how is a really good question, because the church, does Paul have the authority to kick someone out of the fellowship? It's not entirely clear. Is he saying, I'll remove you from the grace of God? Is Paul claiming that authority? He doesn't quite go there, although he tiptoes up to that line of, maybe it's within my power to not have you receive the grace of God, not have you be a part of eternal life, not have you be a part of the kingdom of God when Christ returns. He doesn't quite come out and say it, but it's kind of lurking back there.
Are they receiving the Eucharist at this point? Have they started breaking bread?
They have started breaking bread together. And so, you know, disfellowshipping someone and removing them from... Remember that Eucharist happens in the context of a common meal. So barring someone from the common... gathering from the worship, that's certainly, you know, can Paul do that?
He probably could.
Probably. These things aren't codified yet, but probably. The reason he leaves it a little generic, I think, is that the limits of his power are maybe not clear.
But not being clear, also the fear that engenders can be much more than what any of the realities might have been.
That's just right.
Worrying about the worst, which is what we usually do.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, he's just reminding them that I may be coming back and you'll be sorry if you keep going on at this. And then finally, the last thing. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you all. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So he does end on a nice note. This is just a benediction. No.
So this was written after his second visit.
After his second visit.
He really does sound like a parent talking to his children, though.
He really does. He really does.
A lot of pastors have done that in the past.
And if you pay attention, that last verse is what I'm closing morning prayer with right now. So,
yeah, it's... I thought there was a familiar ring.
It's very big in Catholic Church, too.
Yep. So it's, you know, it's and it's a nice way to end the letter of...
Yes.
You know, hold yourselves accountable. But...
I'm still taken with that Paul is so confident in his authority. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. It all starts from his road to Damascus experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's a strong enough man to put everybody else down, sounds like, and he's so confident in his mission.
That's right. That's right. He's very sure of himself. And I imagine he needed to be. I can't imagine, you know.
Going to follow a weak person.
Yep. Yep.
Is another one of these coast or towns, you know,
yes.
Right up water.
Yes. And I'll do a good introduction to Philippi and the letter to the Philippians next week.
Okay.
So you, but you have survived 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Congratulations.
And when Paul kind of threatens that there could be worse coming to them if they don't shape up, ostracization socially or religiously, that's really psychologically terrible.
Particularly for the early Christians who have in most cases separated themselves from their families of origin and from their tribes. Right.
So they'd be out there on their own alone.
Right.
And both sides would be ridiculing them.
That's right. So, being disfellowshipped is not an empty threat.
No, no, and I would think that would be a pretty critical, it would shape most people up.
Mm-hmm. It also sounds like the beginning of Catholic guilt.
Oh yes, Paul. Yeah. The Catholic guilt is widespread.
Where's the origins of it?
That's right, and it deep rooted.
What is Catholic guilt?
It's a little bit facetious. The Catholic Church is very good at using guilt to get people to.
Which is what sounds like Paul's doing.
But which is exactly what Paul's doing. They come by it honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he's finding it a useful tool to keep them in line.
That's right.
You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
There's all kinds of guilt. There's Jewish guilt.
There's Jewish guilt. Yeah. There's Italian guilt. You know, lots of groups use guilt. It's not healthy, but it's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a healthy tool, but it is a very well-used one.
But it works when you're not right there.
Yes.
Guilt. We, you know, they shed a lot of the Jewish things, but not totally.
Mm-hmm.
They brought the guilt along with them. That must have been a deeply impressed practice.
Well, and it's, you know, there's a reason that parents continue to use it to this day, because it works.
Yes.
It's effective. It's just not, the best psychologically or for the relationship, but it works.
It works.
All right. Well, on that note, may the God of peace fill you with all hope and joy in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know this was short, but we're done with Corinthians, and next week we'll pick up with Philippians.
Okay.
All right.
I guess Linda Ryan had a doctor's appointment.
Linda Ryan had a doctor's appointment, so she's going to listen to the recording. So.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Well, maybe you all find robins in your yard this afternoon.
Yes, get out and enjoy the sunshine while it lasts.
Yes.
Before the wind comes, yep.
Absolutely.
See you later.
See you a little later.
Bye.